What's up, girls, gays, and theys? Welcome to The Thought Topic, a comedy podcast about surviving your 20s. And honestly, we all really, really could use some help. It's me, Christian, your thought therapist, here to help guide you to the best of my thoughty knowledge on all things adulting. So let's get it, shall we? Welcome back, thoughties, to another episode of The Thought Topic with your host, me, Christian Sanchez. Oh my gosh, y'all, it has been one hell of a week. It is just a busy, busy summer for me over here in sweet little Hell's Kitchen, and I'm so excited to do this episode this week. This episode, we are talking about rules for the roster, how to date casually, how to be on other people's rosters, how to maintain a roster. And just in general, rules for being the side piece, a side chick, a side dick, whatever you are, however you feel. If you are a side piece, this is the episode for you. This week, my guest is Luis Galilei. They are a comedian, an activist, an abolitionist, I should say, a writer, actor. What else? All of the creative titles. So Luis does several comedy shows in the city, and I stumbled upon their TikTok because they came up on my For You page, and I religiously stalked their TikTok for probably a good hour and reached out to them and was like, hey, I think you're really funny. Would you like to be on Thought Topic? And shared some of their content on the Instagram, and Luis was super excited to come on. So most of their content has to do with being a side piece or staying on the roster. And so I thought, what a perfect conversation for us to have. So this episode's a little bit longer, but Luis and I really got into kind of like the meats of, you know, how to really genuinely date casually, but also the kind of like the conflict with that by also being an emotionally intelligent person. And we also talk a little bit about like our aspirations as creative people and how that is interworked with also being an activist. So just like a really interesting and fun conversation, really at ease and comfortable. Luis is a lot more calm than I was expecting, which is really good because I'm fucking chaotic all the time. I mean, I'm sure you thoughties know that. So I hope y'all enjoy the episode. Before we get into it, just want to quick remind y'all to check out our website. That's where you can get merch. That's where you can submit a thought tale, a thoughty story, piece of advice. That's where you can find past episodes. So yeah, make sure you check out our website, y'all. If you're planning on getting merch, I would definitely do it soon because we are going to switch out merch soon and prices are going to be rising. So make sure you get your Thought Topic merch. If you have any issues, feel free to DM us on Instagram or shoot me an email or even on my personal page. So check that shit out, y'all. And I think that's all I have for you. So without further ado, here's Luis Galilei. Hey, thotties, welcome back to The Thought Topic. I am here with Luis Galilei.
What's up?
We're cracking up because I am the worst Mexican alive, and I sound like a crusty, dusty white lady whenever I try to say other Latinx names. So, but I did it right.
Yes, you did. Yes. You nailed it.
Thank you.
Are you full Mexican?
No, my dad's side is Mexican and my mom is white. Okay. But I always get clowned by all my siblings. I'm one of nine kids.
Nine?
Yeah.
Wow, that's a lot.
It is. Oh, it's a lot.
Yeah.
And I'm the middle child because I have four older and four younger, which explains a lot about why I am the way I am.
Middle child syndrome.
Yeah. But I'm also like the most like white out of all my siblings. Like, okay, most of my sisters, like they all speak Spanish. Like all their significant others are like fully like Mexican.
Yeah.
So they're always like, Christian, you're like the white one of us. And they're like, you like theater and I don't know, like other white things. So I always get clowned for it.
I love how we make like the arts white, and then it's like, no, it's not. Like, we could all be a part of it, you know?
Okay, honestly, that's true, because like the art I find more interesting is not whitewash art.
Right.
But it just so happens that like musical theater specifically, like what I went to school for, is mad corny. Therefore, it's very white.
Well, anything that's not like a traditional career path is mad corny to like older generations of like Latin parents. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's true.
So then they attribute it to like, oh, you're like getting Americanized. Like, what is that? And you're just like, father, mother, like you sent me to get educated in what I wanted to be. So this is me now. You know, I still carry my culture with me.
You know what? Okay. I love that you have that perspective on it. That makes me feel a lot better. Thank you for validating my insecurities with my siblings. So anyway, welcome to the show.
I'm so excited.
Oh my God, guys. So I found Luis on TikTok.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we love it. Basically, I saw your TikTok on being a fuckboy and how to like finesse staying on a roster, which is what we were going to talk about today.
Okay. All right.
But and I was like, yo, this is genius. Like, this dude is like my counterpart because I do the same shit. Like, I will literally talk to my friends and be like, okay, this is how you manipulate this person into liking you. It's like, it's giving toxic, but that's fine.
Yeah. You know what? This summer was giving sociopath and I was just like, you know, I'm going to live. I'm going to wear it. No, but I mean, like I started out by the way I quote unquote blew up on TikTok was I did a side dude 101.
Wait, I love that.
Video. Yeah. So as I was telling you before, like it's a little dramatized, but I had been a side dude many times.
I know.
and I've always been very busy, very career orientated, I guess, and not the most emotionally available. So I wasn't always, and I used to be overly emotionally available.
Yeah.
So maybe this is me like fighting the old me.
Okay.
But like, I just kind of fell into this thing. It's like, I know my role.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to try and pretend to be something that I'm not. So I'll take the side dude position. And
I love it.
I had got cut off of a roster.
Oh, shit.
Because of my inconsistent communication. Sorry.
T. No. I'm not judging you for it. I'm just saying, like, if you're just the side dude, do you have to have it consistent communication? I don't know. That's debatable.
That's true. But you know? It's like communication in general. Like, it's funny. This is ridiculous, right? But, like, am I starting on the bench? Am I, like, right off the bench to the field? Or am I, like, third off the bench
to the
field? You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know what my position is, so I don't know how much I have to communicate with you.
Okay.
Now, if you're hitting me up only after the bars or after you're out at night, I'm not going to think that we need to be
like have the conversation, time. Right? Like, oh, like this is what the expectation I have from you, because like the expectation you're already getting is I'm just going to hit you up for booty calls, babe.
Right.
You know, like I'm just going to hit you up to come clap my cheeks, you know? Right.
Calling you for the climax and then bounce.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. So I get what you're saying. Like sometimes you don't know your position.
But this time I definitely was like starting off the bench. Like I definitely, I fucked up.
You were like number one or two on the roster.
Yeah, I was one or two on the roster. Like, you know, they were also a very career oriented person. So they were also very busy a lot. So like we both had a mutual understanding of like, we don't have time for a relationship, but when we hang, like I wanted to not just be like, come over to my bed, like we can grab a bite and then go do that.
Right. Like you still have like somewhat of like a relationship thing.
Right.
Yeah, sure.
Right. And at that time I was not keeping up the communication as I should have. And they were kind of like, you know what? This is not for me anymore. And I was like, I said, all right, I completely understand. Like, no hard feelings. Should have done whatever, but then they hit me back up 2 months later and I was just like, I'm here.
They always come back. They always do. But we'll get into that more later. I'm so excited to have you here.
Yeah.
So before we dive into our roster convo and how to build and establish a roster and how to maintain your and solidify a spot on a roster, I want the thotties to get to know you a little bit.
Okay.
Yay. So we're gonna just ask you a few introductory questions, a few like icebreaker things. So
interview me.
Yes. So Luis, please tell us your name, where you're from, your job passion, your sign, your relationship status, and why you are a certified thot. Go.
Okay. My name is Luis Galilei. My passion was one of them.
It's like job passion.
Job passion. Okay. So I'm a comedian, actor, writer.
Love that.
But my day job is in public relations. So I do work from home and do that sort of stuff, which has helped me a lot.
Cool.
In like formatting my comedy career and my acting. My sign is Virgo. I'm a Virgo. Sorry for anyone that I triggered on that one.
Ooh. We love Virgos here. That's okay. Listen, Virgos keep us grounded.
Virgo season's coming. It's yes, approaching.
It is. Wait, what day is your birthday?
September 1st.
Okay. So yeah, your birthday's coming up.
It's coming up. Yeah. I'm about to be 28.
Cute. 28's a cute age because you can still like be fun, but you're not as like dumb as like a 24-year-old, aka me. Anyway, yeah.
As long as you know, I like to say we're all just young. No matter, we're young because of our actions. Let's say that.
True.
And well, how we live our life.
Yeah, I think like age is more of a mindset. Mm-hmm. You're as old as you feel you are. Like my parents, honestly, are like me, and they're in their 50s. Like,
love that.
But they like they're crazy. They like to have fun. Like they. Are very connected like online and so they're a little bit they're like very more progressive than I think like a lot of other people their age, especially like in the Midwest where I grew up.
Okay,
so
we're in the Midwest.
Michigan.
Yeah. Okay, wow. Yeah. I went for college, I went to Ohio State.
No way.
Yeah, I went
okay
to Ohio State.
So you know how people in the Midwest are.
Oh, I know them very well.
Yeah,
I know,
unfortunately,
them very well.
And Ohio fucking sucks too. Like I don't know why, but in Michigan, everyone tells you to hate Ohio. So I'm just like, okay,
vice
I hate.
Versa.
Yeah, but yeah. Now that I'm thinking about it, I don't know why I'm supposed to hate Ohio, but it's just like ingrained in me. Like I'm conditioned to think that way.
It's the rivalry. It's the Ohio State University of Michigan rivalry.
Wait, so it's based on sports?
It's based on college football, yeah.
Ew.
And then there was like a civil war thing that happened between Michigan and Ohio, and that's how it was called, like the blood rivalry, because there was an actual like battle between something like that, and then it kind of just transferred over to like Ohio State versus University of Michigan.
Not you telling me about my own state. Like I dead ass did not know that. But
oh, I was indoctrinated into Ohio.
Like, you like were fully immersed into Ohioan?
Ohioan, yes.
Ohioan culture.
yes, I was.
Oh, but you grew up here, right?
I grew up here.
Okay, yeah, where'd you grow up?
I grew up, so I was born in the Bronx, raised there for a little bit, and then I kind of hopped around a lot because my mother worked in the public schools, but in Westchester.
Oh, okay.
So I lived in Yonkers. I lived in the Bronx, Yonkers, Mount Vernon, and then I was a bit of a delinquent, and I got moved out to like Peekskill, which is up, like upstate, I guess, mm-hmm. what they would call. But I always went to school in White Plains.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Yeah. And then Harlem's been home for a while though. Oops. Did I miss a question? I feel like I missed one.
It's okay. It's a lot of questions. So we're going to keep going through them.
Oh, what makes me a certified thought?
Yes. That's very important.
What makes me a certified?
Oh, no. Wait. Your relationship status. But
oh, single.
Single. Yeah. We know that. Anyway.
Side dude. That's my relationship status.
Stop. I'm definitely stealing that. I'm side chick. That's my relationship status.
Literally side piece.
Side piece. Love that.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. And then yes. Why are you a certified thought? Let's hear it.
Let's see. I'm a certified thought, I guess, because I'm kind of just like not committing to anything and having fun in the ways of different sexual relationships with different people.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to be as proactive in informing that. Right?
Sure.
So people understand. But yeah, definitely certified thought because I just live my life in the non-traditional monogamous way, like the non-monogamous way, I guess.
Uh-huh.
And I'm just trying. My goal, I have really large goals, really high up goals. So I'm just like.
Like what?
I mean, I'm trying to like redefine what celebrity is. Like,
yeah. Let's hear. Tell us about it. We want to know.
So I want to be famous and whatever, but I think like as far as like natural resources, right, in the United States, I think we barely have any. And I think the biggest one is entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't see this country really moving forward in helping its people without entertainment playing more of a role, because mm-hmm. it's the collective consciousness of people that aren't, you know, voting for these progressive things or like attending things where they want to actively be like anti-racist or like, you know,
sure.
destroy the patriarchy, whatever it may be, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that if celebrities started to embody that and then also not hoard so much money, mm-hmm. because like literally the people are giving you money, right? Because the people love you. They, mm-hmm. they love whatever you are, actor, comedian, mm-hmm. you know, performer. So I kind of want to make it cool to not hoard all your money and give a lot of it back.
Yeah. No, so I definitely resonate with that too, because I feel like I've always had, you know, a similar aspiration. Like I want to like be rich and famous and successful, right? Mm-hmm. Like have this whole, like be a part of this whole like celebrity culture.
Right.
But at the same time, my inner anti-capitalist has always like struggled right. with that, because I'm like, but like, I don't want to like hoard all this money and contribute to like this whole system that is still used to like oppress marginalized people. And like, how could I use my like celebrityness or like my coming into like privilege and like exiting the world of like being marginalized and moving into that, like mm-hmm. how would I like combat that?
Exactly.
So yeah, I totally feel you on that. I think that's the plight of a lot of like performers or people who work in entertainment mm-hmm. who come from, I mean, I don't know if this is true for you, but for me, I definitely like grew up very poor. Mm-hmm. Like I come from like a big like Mexican family in Michigan, you know mm-hmm. what I mean? And so I always like thought that was what I needed to aspire to. Mm-hmm. And then now that I'm like, I've lived my adult life thus far and like have made a lot of strides to be closer to that, I'm like, but wait, like, what does that actually look like in practice if my yeah. like values now don't necessarily align with that lifestyle? Does that make sense?
I think that makes complete sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, my background is similar. I wasn't poor. And I say that because I know my friends that were poor.
Mm-hmm.
But because of my unstable housing situation, which was basically just like my mom always worked away from where we lived.
Mm-hmm.
So that meant that I always had to sleep over people's houses. Mm-hmm. And I only really slept at my house sometimes, or my apartment sometimes.
Right.
Well, where me and my mother lived. So, you know, I grew up hanging around in the projects. Mm-hmm. On different streets that, you know, the conditioned society would say aren't safe and things sure. like that. So like I grew up around that and I grew up indoctrinated in that and all the different things that that means. So I understand what like the real world is dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, I mean, someone that identifies like as an abolitionist, it's tough to say like, oh, I want to be a celebrity, because you have to participate in capitalism.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to be a part, like we can all make it really cool to wear Nikes.
Right.
Because the right people wear Nikes and the right people rep it and it becomes such a part of society.
Mm-hmm.
We could also make it real cool to not hoard money.
Yeah.
I think so, because when we make our projects that are beautiful and fun and like everyone's like, damn, I want to work with them.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, well, you're not working with us. Unless you're signing on the dotted line that most of your, not everything, right? Everyone gets to say how much they need.
Mm.
But you can't tell me that you need like $10 million. Like, I just don't agree with that.
Yeah, no. I mean, I have the joke all the time to my friends. I'm like, why is Jeff Bezos not paying my fucking rent? Like, why do I have literally. To pay it? You know what I mean? Like, no one needs that amount of money.
Literally.
So I totally feel you on that. And I think too, like, what a fun, I mean, what a like blessing that we have, that we can use our like talent or our creativity mm-hmm. to help like, not to be like so poetic about it, but to fight, to be anti-capitalist through like a fun and silly lens of yeah. being like, I'm going to tell funny jokes about like my identity. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah. I think these sort of mediums are so important, because obviously I'm a stand-up comedian as well, but like it doesn't have to be that serious.
Mm-hmm.
There are spaces for it to be very serious, right?
Absolutely.
Like if you identify as a capitalist and you are an activist mm-hmm. and you do different things, you participate in mutual aid, you volunteer, you do that's where like the seriousness comes from, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's where like you're volunteering and you're embedded in trying to understand and unlearn. But then we also need platforms where we can just joke around but still have that like core of like, oh, but we're still trying to do good, you
know?
It's
still like the foundation of it.
The foundation of it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. So I think these are super important.
Okay, I fucking love that. So, and honestly, you know, that's not even like a crazy big aspiration to have. Like, I feel like most of the like artist community that I like am a part of, or like most of the people I know, like that's fundamentally like what they want. Mm-hmm. At least like the kind of people I try to like work with too. So, definitely. I don't know. I'm here to help lift you up. So let's do it.
Mutual.
Mutual. Yeah. Everybody's got to eat. Hello.
Everybody.
Yes. So anyway, I know that was kind of a tangent and we're definitely still going to talk about thotty shit. Duh. Yeah, duh. But I think we're very similar in the sense of like we have bigger aspirations, mm-hmm. but we also enjoy the like fun culture of being a thot and hookup mm-hmm. culture and just like living this kind of what I refer to as a hot girl lifestyle.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
And so I don't know, like part of my brand for Thought Topic is that you can be a multifaceted being, like you can be career oriented and you can be and have critical thought about like culture, society, whatever.
Right.
But you also can like you also know how to throw it back too, or you know how to like deep throat.
Yeah.
You know? So yeah, that's like what I'm really interested in.
Well, I think it really humanizes it too. Like it humanizes, like the biggest hoes I know are activists.
Yes.
The biggest thoughts I know are activists.
They're
doing such good in the world.
Yes.
And they're having fun at night or in the morning. Like literally, like I've woken up in a random person's bed and gone to a march. And then and then that night I see someone else. And it's like,
I love that.
It's just like, it's chaotic. It's beautiful. It's a painting. It's messy. But that's what life is, right? Like mm-hmm. people, because people have this like capitalism itself has made like activism or just doing good this like prim and proper, you must live this beautiful only one way lifestyle to mm-hmm. do good. It's like, no, any human can do good mm-hmm. and be thoughts at the same time. Like,
right. Like they're not mutually exclusive.
They're not.
Well, and cause like we idealize doing good with being virtuous.
There you go.
You know what I mean?
Right.
So it's just kind of like, and the whole like reason why we like conceptualize it that way is just like rooted in like racism and sexism, like what misogyny, whatever.
Yeah. And religion.
Right. And yeah. Religion. Yes. So I don't know, like I know it's not like a new conversation to have, mm-hmm. but I feel like the more we have it, the more it normalizes it.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I'm interested in.
Same.
Yeah. So let's be fucking thotty.
Yeah. Let's be thotty.
Okay. I just would like to say too, when I said like attracts like, and I feel like you're my counterpart mm-hmm. is because I have always taken pride in being a side chick.
Okay.
Like like, first of all, I love SZA. SZA yeah. makes side chick music.
Oh my God. SZA holds such a special part in my life.
That's because you're a side piece.
Yes, I just...
Yeah, right?
Yes.
So, okay. So that's like characteristic number one. Number two, I grew up... You just mentioned religion as mm-hmm. being like a root of like where we like find our morality, right? Yeah.
Shame as well.
Yes. I grew up Mormon.
Okay.
Wow. Which is funny because like I was I actually haven't talked about this a lot on my show, but I grew up Mormon. But my parents were never like super Mormon. Like we would go to the church sometimes, but if you know anything about Mormons, they don't really fuck with that. Like they want you to hardcore be Mormon. Yeah. So we only went for like a little bit. Like we went until I was probably like 13.
Okay.
13 or 14. And so because of that, like obviously with being in a very ultra conservative religion, that comes with a lot of like internalized guilt and shame. Mm-hmm. And I think I was able to kind of escape a lot of that because mm-hmm. my parents stopped going at the beginning of my teenage years when I was first discovering like my sexuality mm-hmm. and like how I like what like sexuality is, how to behave sexually and things like that. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's just always kind of been a part of who I am, like this kind of thotty energy or this mm-hmm. thotty persona. Like I remember I was probably like one of the first people out of my friend group in high school to like ever like give head. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? And like, I never thought about it, anything wrong with that. And I never felt like slut shamed, honestly,
okay.
until I moved to New York post-grad.
Really?
Yeah, because I was starting to date like a bunch of different kinds of people. And not...
Well, because theater kids get down.
Oh, yeah. Theater kids definitely get down.
You were not slut shamed at theater.
No, 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 no. Especially because, like, a lot of theater people are queer people. Mm. And, like, when you're in a queer space, like, everyone's like, yeah, do whatever you want. Uh-huh. Like, absolutely. I love that. And so, yeah, I actually, when I moved to New York and I was starting to be around, it starting to be in different spaces that weren't just, like, queer people or artists or creatives, mm. like, with different day jobs I've had, or like different people I would go on dates or match with on dating apps, I realized, I was like, oh, like there are still a lot of like way more conservative thinking people than I had realized, because I had always been in a more liberal space, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. You quickly find out that like Manhattan, even though it is blue or whatever, mm-hmm. like it's not, it is progressive, don't get me wrong, but it's progressive because its tolerance is up.
Mm,
it's, mm-hmm. Its acceptance isn't necessarily completely up.
Yeah.
Because like it's still like extremely capitalistic, and what that means is like it's trying to be in tradition, right?
Mm-hmm.
So like, for example, your slut shaming is one that I don't receive, right? Because of my masculine presenting and what it is to be more of a traditional guy. Like what is a strong perceived man,
mm-hmm.
or a successful one is one that sleeps around,
mm-hmm.
right? It's that double standard.
Totally.
Yeah.
Well, and it's interesting too, because like this is a little bit unrelated, but when I've like dated people before in the city and I've told mm-hmm. them that like I identify as being like bi or pan, and like mm-hmm. I date other women, whenever I've told that to like a cis man, they're like, oh, like do you, what kind of girls do you like? And I'm like, well, and like I tell them like about the different like women or like non-binary people I've like dated or like mm-hmm. hooked up with, and they're like, oh, it's not two hot lesbians making out. Like, that's not how I, like, envision your queerness. So that makes me uncomfortable, and I'm going to shame you for it now. You know what I mean? Yeah. Because it's not, like, desirable to me. And so, like, that's just, I don't know. It's interesting to think about, because in doing this show, I definitely have made my online presence way more open, mm-hmm. Especially about, like, my queer identity or, like, mm-hmm. my, I don't know, just, like, my sexual identity in general that people now ask me, they're like, oh, do you ever feel embarrassed? Or are you like worried that when you date people now, they're going to like know a lot about you before you really get to know them?
Yeah.
And I'm curious, like, do you feel that way? Also kind of having a similar like online persona?
I would say it's tough. Like, I don't really quantify it. I don't really qualify it that much, because
mm-hmm.
it's a very surface level when I see people that know, that quote unquote know me.
Mm-hmm.
So like, and also, like, I'm, like, very sexualalized.
Mm.
So it's, I feel that when they come up to me. So I'm kind of just like, okay, like, first of all, thank you so much, right?
I love a compliment.
Yeah, I love a compliment. Or I love that you follow me on TikTok and that you really find my videos funny.
Yeah.
And I'm also sexually fluid. So, like, bi, pan could be within that. I haven't found much comfort or acceptance in the labels,
right?
So I like to say fluid, but I don't talk about it outright because of different reasons of like I still present very hetero,
sure,
and although like I do have a little bit of femininity within the way that I express myself, I know what I am when I walk around. So
mm-hmm.
I rather that space be taken up by someone that has had a true, and when I say true, like, who quantifies that, right? But like a true queer experience of growing up and living in this world.
Sure.
Which is constant harassment and all that stuff. Like, I don't experience the constant harassment because of what I look like.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, when people approach me like that, it, you know, they think they know me, but they don't, because a lot of people, I've had some people that follow me on TikTok come to a comedy show and they are kind of surprised, right? Because you would think that I go up there and I only do like slutty, thotty shit, side dude content, but it's a woke side dude up there.
It's more nuanced.
Yeah, it's a nuanced side piece up there, and they're like, "Wait, wow, you had like some really like some of those jokes made me think," and I was like, "Yeah, you know, there's some complexity behind this side piece." You know what I mean?
Not an intellectualized side piece. There you go. I love it. Yeah. So, well, I don't know. I mean, I think that prior to us recording today, I had mentioned to you, you know, like, I love that TikTok is now this platform that is just way more honest about what your like lived experience is. And obviously any social media presence is going to be a little bit curated.
Of course.
But at the same time, TikTok is way more accepting and like open to the idea that you can show the messier, uglier side of your life.
Yeah, I love that too.
I love it. I literally, my most popular I mean, I'm not like crazy popular on TikTok, but my TikToks that have gotten a lot of likes or views are always my messiest ones.
Oh, yeah, because people love to live vicariously through you.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And also, so many people have experienced what we're experiencing and whatever that video is that they're like, it's literally, I'm relating to you.
Mm-hmm.
I can't say it because of however I feel, but like, you just read me. You
they're
know
like,
what I mean?
But yes, I see you. Yeah, like, exactly. I am you.
Literally.
Okay. Are you ready? We're going to talk about rosters now.
Let's do rosters. Yeah. Let's do it.
My fellow certified thought. I love it. Luis.
Uh-huh.
All right. Let's get into it.
Dale.
First of all, I have talked a lot on the show about the importance of having a roster.
Okay.
So I want to ask you, how do you create and choose a roster? Because I feel like we might like think of rosters a little bit differently. So I'm curious what you think as a fellow side piece or thoughty person.
I would say I create my roster, my quote unquote roster, because I'm more like on other people's rosters, to be honest.
But wait, that's what I love about your content, because I feel I haven't seen anyone really take that angle or approach where they're like, I just am here to get on other people's rosters and not really create their own.
Yeah, I'm chill. Like, honestly, creating a roster for me is very like cumbersome. Like, I'm like, all right, what I gotta go do this. I gotta screen this person. I gotta see if we vibe. I gotta figure out if you're one, two, or three, or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
But like, I am a big vibe person, right? Mm-hmm. And that's cringy, whatever. But I really am. Like, if we're both attracted to each other, and we have that physical attraction and chemistry, then I don't see why we shouldn't see each other again, right? But that doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, I may want a committed relationship or not. So that's when the roster is born, right? Or my position on the roster.
Yes.
Because here's the thing, like, I joke around, but it's true. I'm like the most emotionally unavailable, emotionally available person in the world.
Can I edit that sentence?
Okay, go.
I think you're an emotionally unavailable person, but you're emotionally intelligent, which I think are different things. Okay. Is that what you mean?
That's kind of what I mean.
Okay. Like, because you're very self-aware. It seems like you're very good at communicating, or at least expressing like how you feel about something.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't necessarily mean you're like readily available to be in a monogamous relationship. Yes?
Right. Yes.
Okay.
You read me 1,000%. But I like literally counterparts. In this world, like, you can't be a good person and be good at sex and not give monogamy. You know what I'm saying? And I'm like, I'm a good person, I do well. But I
it's
also
giving a 5 out of 5 on Yelp.
It's giving a good review for the most part. Maybe it's a 4.5. I'm sure I've fucked up many times. But then it's giving like, I'm not down for monogamy right now. But if you don't flat out say that, which I've learned to flat out say, then you leave a lot of space.
Question marks.
Yeah, you leave a lot of space for people to, and even yourself, to not, to fill in the gaps with whatever that is. But to come back, how do you set up a roster? For me, a roster has to be going with the flow. For like you're not in a monogamous relationship, right? You have no commitments. You met someone. They're cool. They take you out, right? So that's what it gives. It's giving a little bit more, right? It's giving more time spent. All right, that was cool. Maybe you had sex, maybe you haven't, which I don't know. I recommend having sex quickly because don't waste your time.
You got to drive the car before you buy it.
Sorry. Like, what the hell? Like, I'm not going to not test drive it.
Right.
But then, like, you might meet someone else and there's that physical connection or there is a chemistry, but it's not. It gives, what are you doing Friday night? I'm not going out. come over, movie. Like, why? Like, you start to feel it out. You start to feel out, like, what is this person giving me? But how am I reacting off of them? And then for me, like, based off of your reactions off of the person, you can decide whether you want a roster that is a deep roster, or you just want a couple people or one or two that you can go back and forth with until... But here's the problem. In setting up a roster, leading with expectation will fuck you. Will fuck you bad. Because,
elaborate.
Because, like, if you go... If I meet someone, right? We got on a date. Chemistry's live. I don't sleep with them right away because of whatever stupid shit that people tell themselves. And then second date, and it's great. And you're like, okay. But they're not showing the commitment. All right, I'm going to keep them at number one because this person seems like it'll get bigger. Or it'll develop.
Potential,
right? But then it's like, what does that potential in your head mean? Like, you're already leading with that expectation. That person may just sit there and their dinner and sex. And that might just be what they are. But you now have placed an expectation on them of potential instead of just living whatever that relationship is. That's why some people are like, at the end of the summer, come September, October, they're like, oh man, I didn't know that this person, number three, was going to step up like that. And it just happens. You know what I'm saying? And it happens.
Yeah.
But then we place expectation on what that is, right? Then we're like, damn, my expectation for number three was... You know, good dick and a cipher. But now good dick turned into like going to the movies, and we went to the park the other day.
And I met their friends.
Am I in love? Is this too much?
Are we dating? Do we have to label this now? Yeah. Okay, so I get what you're saying.
And then we destroy ourselves in our own heads versus just like living something in the present time of like... Your number one could actually be number three, but not enough time has gone by.
Yeah. And you kind of have to like let it unfold for itself.
Let it unfold for itself. Know where you are. So like if you are someone that's looking for like monogamy, eventual monogamy, like you're like, no, I'm moving around right now. I got a roster. I'm chilling. But I know that eventually it's going to be that for me. Then let whichever player decide for you. And then if you don't like any of them, clear the roster. Like,
right. And then start over, baby.
Start over.
Okay. Honestly, I think that's like a really insightful, but yet like fun way to think about it. Because for me, so I'm in also this place right now where I have zero interest in being in a monogamous relationship. I broke up with my most recent ex in February. Okay. And so pretty much since then, I. So the quarantine relationships ended in the springtime this year. Yes. And so because of that, I definitely have just like fully embraced like, oh, no. I want to enjoy my singleness right now and just like enjoy for like whatever, like however my like hot girl summer is going to go, right? And I went through a period of time where I purposely like wasn't like actively dating anybody. And then bam, out of nowhere, I was on like four people's rosters. And I was like, wait a minute.
Right.
Where did you all come from? I was like, I literally went from like purposely like not fucking anybody for like probably like a month and a half. And then all of a sudden I like fucked like four people in like 2 weeks or some shit. You know what I mean? And so I'm just like, I'm sitting here thinking like, prior to my last relationship and most of my single adulthood, even like when I was just like having like a thought like moment or like enjoying my singleness, I would always be concerned about my own roster. And now that I'm at this point where I'm like not really like putting expectations on anything, I have like more people like asking me for more and like and like demanding more from me.
Right.
And now I'm thinking more like, oh, I'm on their roster. So I said, I've never really seen anyone take that angle. And so I really like that. Cause when you're like fully in your thoughtiness and you don't want anything serious, that's kind of just the position you fall into.
Yeah.
You know,
like, I'm more than happy to be on your roster. And I don't need my ego isn't stroked by, you know, it like convincing you that I need to be at the top of it.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like,
yes.
I've done a lot of self-work and a lot healed through a lot of trauma to like have the, you know, couple ounces of like that self-acceptance and self-love that we're always working on to be okay wherever you want to put me. Because I'm putting myself first.
Interesting. Yeah. Well, and I also think and correct me if you don't feel this way, but I also think there's kind of this shift in like dating culture to where like people are not relying on dating or like relationships for like validation that they can provide for themselves,
right.
Yeah. Which is like not a perspective I've had until probably recently.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I think there's been a huge wave that's been going on for a while that is like the self-help wave, right?
Yeah.
And I think the self-help wave started out in a very business capitalistic place of like self-help is success and money. But then a lot of more of the mainstream started to get into spirituality. And then they narrowed it down to self-acceptance and self-love, right? That always was a through line through spirituality. But the mainstream and the books and all that great stuff brought it here. And I think a lot more people are consuming that. And a lot more people are like, wait, you know, my relationship with a partner isn't validation and isn't going to fill my hole. Like, I need to fill up myself and I need to live in parallel with this person versus depend on them.
Oh my God, yes. Yeah. Like, it's so weird because, like, so the reason I edited your sentence earlier is because I literally had to say this to a person I was seeing recently where I was like, I'm a very emotionally intelligent person, but I am not emotionally available right now.
Yeah.
Because I like to date people and I like to go out and I like to have sex, but I don't want any more commitment than that. And maybe it's because like I'm like a cis woman that like when I date men they don't really take that seriously. Because I feel like sometimes like I'll say that to people and they're like, oh, you don't really mean that. But I do. So yeah.
And also, who are you?
Right.
Like, who are you to say that you don't really mean that?
Like, yeah, because it's like this idea that like women are always attaining like monogamy or relationships or like trying to find their partner because patriarchy. But
literally.
So yeah. So I don't know. I think it's like it's part of the whole idea of being like to be, I think, good at, I think to be good at being a thought, you kind of have to be good at self-help or self-awareness. In some ways.
I think that's true.
In a way to like protect yourself.
Well, there's no one out there that like identifies as a thotty or the thotty energy that hasn't for at least a little bit shed exterior importance on like validation. Because to say you are a thot is to rebel against like monogamy and like what it is to be. I mean, it started off with femmes, right? It started off with women. Being a thought is kind of like this, I'm against what man wants me to be. I'm going to be what I want to be and focus on what I want to focus on, right? And getting money in the way I want to, getting success in the way I want to, and pleasuring in the way I want to receive or give. So yes, I think thotties are probably like the most into self-help.
Hopefully. Yes.
But then I definitely want to hold space for the thotties that are out there just being dependent and kind of like the validate. Because I've fallen into that for sure. Like I have a huge problem.
I want to hold space for the sensitive thoughts.
Yeah, I want to hold space for the sensitive thoughts. Because that was me. That was me definitely a year ago, like seeking validation in sex.
And yes.
Like, I don't love myself and my body, but I'll be with someone that does.
Yes.
And that's rough because then you find yourself sad when you're not with people.
Ooh, it's a codependency for me.
It's the codependency for me.
Oh, yes. Man. Yeah. Oh, but then I think like eventually you do arrive to that space and then that's when you like really can just like, then you kind of go from there and then you're like, okay, like what do I really want now? Or how do I idealize relationships or sex in moving forward, you know?
Right. Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
Okay. So what would your advice be for juggling or like balancing dating / sleeping with multiple people?
Well, I would say from experience, you have to be like, in my opinion, if you are masculine presenting, identify as a cis man or whatever, I think you need to be very communicative, like proactive in that communication. and it might result in people not fucking with you no more.
Mm-hmm.
But it's better than like actually manipulating someone.
Mm-hmm.
Like I can live for a little bit of manipulation. I think there's a healthy amount, like a drop,
a splash of toxicity,
but not manipulating to the point where this person thinks that you're the only.
Yeah, or, no, that's different.
Yeah, or like that you're not being safe, right? Like
yeah.
Get tested. You know, I know many people that just prefer not using condoms. And mm-hmm. if that's what you're going to do, then you got to get tested.
Right. You have to do other things then to protect yourself.
Right. Yeah. Right. And also just because you're juggling several people, you don't have to necessarily treat it like that.
Yes.
Like these are still human beings that are fulfilling roster placements. You know what I mean? We're not throwing balls in the air.
Like they're yes, way to humanize the concept of dating, because it's, I feel like sometimes people do really think about it. They like dehumanize the people they're dating, and they're like, okay, well, this person, he like pissed me off, so I'm not gonna see him on Friday night now. And maybe he just like looked at your Instagram story and forgot to respond to your text or some shit. Yeah. You know, something small. I don't know. That's just like a small example. I mean,
social media plays a lot in it. Social media has made it very toxic to date multiple people or to see multiple people, because you're not just seeing them on whatever day you're seeing them. You're seeing them on social media.
Like you can know what they're constantly doing.
Exactly. So like... which I've done before, and I'm sure people have done, like, you know, your number one or two. I mean, I don't have positions, but like your number one or two, because I'm usually on it. But
you're trying to like get on every team. you're trying to get clients. I get it.
Listen, you know, I'll try out for the team. If I make it, I make it. If I don't, I don't.
It's giving multiple leagues.
Yeah. I'm a multi-sport athlete.
Yes.
but like, you know, if your number one fails and you got to drop to your number three, but your number three has been watching you on social media, be around with like, you know, kind of like be very active, and then number three doesn't really feel thought about, you know? Like,
true, they might feel some type of way.
Yeah, it's like, oh, you know, I'm definitely your last resort.
Okay, this is a quick tangent. I am now in the business. I used to be one of those people that's like, I'm not going to post anybody I'm dating because no one needs to know my business. And this was like, this was pre-thought topic, right? Okay, before thoughts, right?
Yeah. Pre-enlightenment.
Pre-enlightenment. And now I don't give a fuck. Yeah. I will like post on my like Instagram story if I'm out on a date or probably a month ago, I went on a date with like a friend of mine, and I like posted him and tagged him on my story, and I had mentioned to another friend of mine that I was going on a date, and she messaged me and she was like, did you just tag your date on your story? And I was like, yeah. She was like, you are wild.
She was like,
this is not the Christian I know from like 3 years ago. And I was like, I don't give a fuck. And then one of my other like people on my roster, like another person I was seeing, was like, who is your friend that you posted you went out with? I was like, oh, I went on a date. And they were like, what?
That's hilarious.
And I was just like, I don't give a fuck. Like, well, because the tea is the person I went on a date with is like, we're kind of like friends.
Uh-huh.
And we went on a Revel ride. And so I wanted to flex I was going on a Revel, but I didn't want to like post them on the Revel with me, because I wasn't driving. I can't drive.
Yeah.
I have a theory hot girls can't drive. But and so I was like, well, I'm not gonna post them and not tag them. I was like, so that would be rude. And then so then all my friends clowned me for it. They were like, you tagged your date. That's like boss bitch moves. Yeah. And I was like, but normalize tagging your dates. Who cares? Because keep the mystery up. And then it's like, do you see why I'm messy now?
That's messy as fuck.
So messy. But it's okay. Maybe you don't have to go to the extreme that I did, but I'm just saying, like, it does contribute to the fact that, like, people can literally know what you're doing at any time. So that's why I like kind of keep them guessing.
Yeah. I mean, like, for me now, like, I mean, I'm not on many rosters right now, which is fine with me.
Mm-hmm.
But you see me on social media.
Mm-hmm.
And the way I present on social media, in my defense, I think, isn't someone that you try and wife up.
Yes. Same.
Like honestly, like you go on my TikTok, all I'm doing is talking about like side piece stuff and dating, and then, you know, there is a lot of self-awareness in it. And then on my Instagram, like, I'm showing skin, like, I'm, you know, doing my thing. And then I'm a performer and an artist. Like, I don't scream, like, relationship.
Yes.
I don't think so. So, like,
same.
if you try and do that with me and I express that no and you still go, at one point, like, I don't have much responsibility after that.
Right. Well, and that's how I feel too. Like, so, I mean, when it comes to, like, dating multiple people at once, my whole thing is, like, I'm very, like, upfront from the beginning, especially now, like, that I'm not looking for anything serious. Mm-hmm. And then also with my social media presence, like, it's giving, like, I tag my show, The Thought Topic, in my Instagram bio, yeah. And my entire page is bikini pictures. Like, what about that says, like, I really want you to challenge me on that. Yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah, so it's just kind of it. Like, it's like you said, like, at what point are you, like, then responsible for it? You're not, sis. They're being clowns. Yeah, you know?
Like, I do understand if you step over a boundary or whatever, like, that's different. But, like, mm-hmm. I am trying to be the even more proactive now, because it's just like, I don't want to create a monster.
Mm-hmm.
Because past relationships they just create more perpetuated monsters. And, like, then you got a couple of my friends that just roll around just expecting someone to be horrible.
Yeah.
And I'm like, but that's not, I mean, like, it is your experience and I don't want to take that from you, but, like, there's not everyone's like that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, and the thing is too, is, like, I think for me, something that I try to challenge people on, or, like, when my friends ask me for dating advice, or, like, I don't know, people, like, write into the show and ask questions. Mm-hmm. I try to always come from the same angle that we were talking about earlier, is, like, you really sabotage yourself when you put expectations on things.
Yes.
So when you apply all these rules to dating, like, oh, I'm seeing this person and I really like them, so I want to see them at least once a week, or I want to text them all day, every day. Mm-hmm. And, like, if that's what makes you feel safe and that's your boundary, sure, then, like, that's your MO. But I think, like, if you're genuinely interested in having this, like, kind of more casual approach to dating, it is kind of, I think, useful to challenge yourself to be as casual about it as you can be.
Yeah.
You know? And I think that maybe sometimes in doing that, that's when you do realize, oh, maybe I am looking for more commitment, or maybe I am looking for something a little bit more serious, as opposed to, like, forcing something very serious or something very committal initially before you really, like, get the opportunity to, like, get to know somebody. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yes, that makes a lot of sense.
It's like you're, like, already creating the expectation and, like, idea of a relationship before, mm-hmm. like, you even have the opportunity to be in one.
Right.
Because genuinely how I feel, if someone were to walk into my life and be like, meet them and I really like them, then I would change my mind.
Right.
And same. I would be open to that.
Same.
I don't see that happening anytime soon. But and I dare someone to challenge me on that. But I take that back. Please no one do that. I can't handle that right now. But I'm just saying, like, I think this whole, like, non-committal, like, like, this more casual approach to dating, mm-hmm. is just, I think, in general, easier on yourself.
I think it is too, and it's less performative.
Yeah.
It's less like, oh, like, now I have to change myself because it seems like this person might be it, like, mm-hmm. might be the one. And it's like, I don't know, like, we're all growing during this age, like, mm-hmm. during your, you know, mid-20s to 30s, like, we're still growing, but, like, the expectation is, like, partner needs to come through. And then you're what I've seen so many times is that then you're in a situation where, like, you're constantly compromising for someone when you barely know yourself. So it's mm-hmm. like, what, like, at what point can we say that, like, we're getting into relationships without even really being grounded in ourselves?
Yeah,
because of expectation. So it's like, what the fuck?
Yeah, definitely. Well, and the thing is too, is, like, if you compromise yourself so much to the point to like it so much that you're eventually not going to have any version of yourself left.
Exactly.
And, like, I've definitely been in that position before, and it's just Same. not, Yeah, it's just not it. Like, it's not a place you want to be in, because then you're just miserable because you don't have any like semblance left of like what you even want or mm-hmm. what you find. Like, you push your boundaries so far that you're like, you don't have any anymore.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it's not to say that like whatever relationship you do embark in doesn't involve compromise. It does, but it doesn't feel like compromise.
Mm.
Like if you and I, if we vibed completely and we were our own people and we were in parallel, mm-hmm. and you asked me to do something for you that was a perceived compromise.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for me, I just want to want to do it. It doesn't need to feel like a compromise, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But versus, you know, you haven't gotten to that point. So then they ask you for something and then you're like, oh, all right. So you do the thing, but then you have an expectation that one day they'll do something else for you.
Okay, I want to ask you something.
Yeah.
I like having a roster, or I like dating multiple people at once, mm-hmm. because then if someone takes me off their roster, I don't notice.
Oh, that's hilarious. Oh my god.
I have this running joke too that I've never been ghosted because I don't pay attention to when people ghost me.
That's giving fear of rejection. That's what it's
that is right on the money, baby. Like, I cannot handle it. Because my love language is words of affirmation. So I just like want someone to like give me all the like verbal affection. Mm-hmm. Just tell me how much you like me. So yeah, it's the fear of rejection. Absolutely. I'm an actor. Like, I get that enough elsewhere. I don't need it in my personal life, too.
Heard you.
You know?
Heard you.
But, you know, I definitely, like, I can take the hint when I hit somebody up and then they're busy. I'm like, oh, they don't want to make time for me. That's okay. I'll fade away. I'll fall back.
That's how I feel.
You know? Like, but then that protects... This sounds like so like defensive, but that protects my ego in a way.
You're not on like, trial, I'm Christian. Not,
I know, but I'm just saying, like, I know I have a fragile ego because of my God complex. I'm very aware, but that's like what my approach is. So I don't get hurt. Is that healthy? I don't know. I'll let you guys know. You know?
Well, what is it? Okay. This is going to sound shitty. I like to be on multiple rosters, and I guess that means having a roster, because it absolves me of responsibility.
Is that giving fear of commitment?
That's giving fear of commitment a bit.
Okay, yeah, that's true. So, okay, so because of that, you kind of mentioned this earlier, but can you like tell us about a time that you were removed from a roster?
Yes.
And did it sting or no?
Oh, it stung. Okay. Yeah, no, it definitely stung.
What happened?
Because like, so, I mean, I'm not running around like people think I'm running around. I definitely give, I'm running all the time. Same. Everywhere.
When you have a thotty platform, you just kind of like give the illusion you're fucking more than you probably actually are.
Yeah.
Sometimes I am, but then sometimes, like I said, I had a dry spell for like a month and a half and I was cool with it.
Oh, I can't relate. But no, I'm not fucking the way people think I'm fucking around. Mm-hmm. But basically, it hurt because the people that I am fucking with, I do fuck with. Like,
what do you mean?
If it's a one night thing, then that's I'm not seeing you again.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But if you're on like a quote unquote roster, like I'm probably seeing you like more frequently.
Okay.
You know, whether that is every week or like every 2 weeks or like, or at least talking.
I'm really bad at rejecting other people.
Same.
Because, really, well, and to be honest, maybe that's where like my fear of commitment comes in, because I don't actively think this, but when I like sit and think about it, mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, but maybe I'll change my mind and maybe I will be interested in them. So that I never just like flat out reject anybody. But then I'm like, okay, Christian, you have left this person on red like 4 times. You're not making an effort to hang out with them. Like, you should just tell them you don't like them, so you don't mm-hmm. leave them hanging. But then I'm like, oh, I'm busy. The ADHD kicks in and then I forget it.
See, I have a deep fear of being that guy in someone's life. Like, I have that deep fear of being like, oh, like when someone refers to like, oh, you know, men, like that's what I have a deep fear of being.
Mm.
So like, that's what makes it really hard for me to like cut somebody off. That's why I rather be on someone else's roster so that they have to then do it.
Right.
Which is, you know, that's a lot right now.
Yeah.
But because, like, I feel mean and I feel like, how else can I tell you? Like, it sucks. Like, this person is telling you, I want to see you. And then I'm like, I'm busy.
Yeah. And then you're being evasive. And they're like, evasive. But you're not saying like no, but you're not saying
exactly.
Yes. And so they're like, I'm confused.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Okay. So I just want to ask you before we get into the last segment, What is your final thought tip for staying on the roster?
Final thought tip for staying on the roster.
Thought topic is like Ned's Declassified, but for hoeing. So I like to leave the thotties thought with one tip. Final like stamp of thought tip.
Okay, so thought tip to stay on the roster.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I guess it's the overall theme of like what we were talking about. It's just like communication. Like my thought tip to stay on the roster is to understand what that means for the person that you're trying to stay on their roster. Like does communication mean they don't want to talk to you? Because that's a form of communication. Because maybe you're the 3 a.m. If you want to remain the 3 a.m., respect that boundary. Do not
text them when the sun is up.
I was just about to say, they don't need the good morning text.
Nope.
They do not want to see your face come up on their text messages.
Absolutely not.
Yeah, you got to understand that. And but if someone wants like a little bit more, which may mean like, interacting with them on social media or like a, how was your day on a Wednesday and a Friday? Like, we don't have to routinely schedule this to be that maniacal. That's the Virgo in me. Like,
the Virgo is scheduling out their dates, yeah, and their communication.
Literally, I'm like, oh shit, it's Wednesday. I need to ask them how their week was. but no, literally, like, so you want to stay on the roster, learn their form of communication and learn what that boundary is. Is it a consistent one where you need to be? I mean, don't get me wrong. If you're a side piece, I don't think there should be an expectation that we're talking every day.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're really trying to stay on this one's roster and that's they need like some sort of interaction every day, you determine whether you want that or not. But
to me, if the bed game is strong, then I'll do it. Like if it's really making my pussy pop, then if they want me to text them a few times a week or we go to dinner once a week, I'm like, fuck it, okay.
Yeah,
if that's what I gotta do, yeah. Sure.
If it's given it, then you gotta return it. Why not? Know the expectation of communication.
Yes.
Or know the communication expectation. Yeah, know the communication expectation. That's the thought tip stamp right there.
Period. Louise, thank you so much.
Yes,
you are
this is fun.
You honestly are also a certified thought therapist. Like you are very like I'm the thought therapist. Like
yes, that's you. But I'm an assistant. Like
you
I bring the pen, I bring the folder.
You can work at what's a therapy like firm called? Like an office?
A practice.
You can be a part of the thought practice.
Yes, I'm there.
Like you're like one of the like the thought therapists that's there every times a week.
I'm more like the enlightened office manager because I have a fear of commitment, so I don't want to be a full thought therapist. But I'm like working schedules out.
Right.
And sometimes like we kiki at lunch, and you're like, but this patient, and I'm like, well, what it's giving is
Yes. Well, thank you for being a part of the practice. Yeah. Welcome to the thought community, babes.
Oh, I love it.
Before we go, we're gonna do everyone's favorite segment, which is Thought Anthem of the Week. A thought anthem is a song that makes you feel sexy, empowered, like a bad bitch that makes you want to get your cheeks clapped, whatever it that
okay,
may be.
Love that.
So
I clap cheeks because I'm a top.
Yes. Okay. Ooh, that's how you know. Thank you for saying that because people will probably try to slide in your DMs. Anyway.
It happens.
So what is your thought anthem?
My thought anthem is my fuckboy prince, my king of fuckboys, Brent Faiyaz, his song called Fuck the World.
Ooh, give it to me. I don't know this song, so why is it your thought anthem?
So, all right, so it's my thought anthem because for some reason, Brent only puts out toxic fuckboy music.
Good.
and I live for it because I can't outwardly admit how much I am that, right?
Mm-hmm.
But in the chorus is like, he says, fuck the world, I'm a walking erection. And I like, that's like some hot boy shit.
That's sexy.
Yeah.
If I, yeah, I, Brent, what's his name?
Brent Faiyaz.
Brent Faiyaz? I want to fuck this person.
Well,
damn.
He's like many, many R&B artists that you see. You're like, oh my God, this person's so sexy. Their voice is incredible. And then you meet them and they're 5'5". And you're like, holy shit.
But honestly, I live for a short king. Yes? That will not stop me.
Right. Short kings.
We love short kings.
Short kings. Slide into Christian's DMs.
Honestly, no. Short kings if you have swag. Like if you have hot boy energy, that's
okay.
Fine.
Okay. But sometimes a short king's hot boy energy, it's just a Napoleon complex.
Yeah, it is. The tea is, though, I think I've normalized short kings because my parents, my dad is the same height as me and my mom's like 5'11 or 5'10. So I think that's why I've normalized it. So I know a lot of girls are like, I only date 6 foot and above. I'm like, I don't give a fuck.
Yeah, good. Yeah,
so yeah, he can get it. Anyway, that's a great thought anthem. Thoughties, check it out. It will be on our Thought Anthem of the Week playlist, which is on Spotify. And you can also find a link to it on our Instagram.
Hell yeah.
Luis, thank you so much.
I had so much fun.
I'm sweating so much because the AC has been off for a bit.
Yep.
But I will sweat for you. Thank you for being here. tell the Thoughties where they can find you and promote anything you want to promote.
So I am at all platforms, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok at Inca Papi. So INCAPAPI.
Cute.
If you follow me, you'll see all the shows that I produce, the different comedy spots that I'm at, or different projects that I'm a part of, or, you know, bigging up other thotties, you know.
Yes. Yeah. Do you have any shows coming up?
I have a weekly Wednesday show that's thought friendly.
Yes.
Weekly Wednesday show at the Bowery Electric that starts at 8 p.m. And the tickets will be in my bio. And then I have a Brooklyn show that's every first and third Sunday. And both of those shows, we take some of the proceeds and put them towards a fund for different like mutual aid efforts for like free groceries in Harlem and in Brooklyn.
Oh, shit.
So you're laughing for a good cause.
Oh my God, I love that. Okay, so I'll definitely put links to that in the episode description. Hell, and we'll promote it the fuck out of it. That's on it, yeah. Thought Topic. But Luis, thank you so much.
Yes, thank you.
Please come back very soon. Thoughties, you know where you can find me at Creshtun Sanchez. That's CreshTun Sanchez. And follow The Thought Topic on Twitter, Instagram at The Thought Topic. And there is a zero in thought. So thanks, y'all.
Thank you.
Stay hot. Stay thought. Thoughties. Mwah.